Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, people. It's a Friday here on the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM, and we've got a whole bunch of football to talk about. We'll start with the biggest games in the college ranks, including a game that Jenks will be watching, Oklahoma and Texas. A very interesting line and a lot of interesting storylines in that one. Then at 7:20, we go on to the Tigers and the Mariners. Big game in Major League Baseball today. Game 5 between these two, series tied at 2 games apiece. Tarik Skubal, can he put this team on his back and carry the Tigers to the next round? We will talk about all of our favorite plays in that game. Then at 7:40, it's Parlay Central here on the show. We have Double D's Degenerate College Football Parlay, and then we have the Squad Parlay, which last week we were very close to hitting. So maybe this is the week. It's all coming up next here on the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. All right, Jenks, so what's the watching situation when it comes to the Texas game this week? Because I think we've shown our preferences. Like, you like to usually go to a bar and be surrounded by Texas fans, whereas where it's a big game for me, which I haven't had one of those in quite some time since the Titans are terrible, NC State, So normally I like to watch big games at home because I get nervous that I'm not going to get a good seat or somebody's going to try to talk to me. But are you watching this game at a bar?
Oh, God. So I have to decide. It's interesting you asked that question. So we have our friends Ryan and Sarah coming in. They're coming in today. They live out in Virginia, so not too far from here. But we either go out there to see them over a weekend or they'll come here. So Ryan is a big Ohio State fan. And then my friend Sarah is a big Longhorns fan, and she wants to watch the game too. So we don't know how we're going to do it because we're going to start watching Ohio State at noon, then it's Texas-Oklahoma at 3:30, and then the lovely Catherine and Sarah, who is Ryan's wife, they're going to go see Drunk Dracula here in D.C., which is where they perform Dracula. They take shots first and then see how it goes, so it's really funny. That's an hour and a half, and we're supposed to go to dinner after that and then karaoke after that. Like, that's going to be, I don't know if I can last, like, 10, 11 hours. So I'm trying to decide if we meet at the bar first at noon, or if everyone just comes over. I'm leaning towards just buying a bunch of food and having drinks delivered, like on, I mean, you can do that on Uber Eats or whatever, and just having everyone over, and then maybe we do something after that and go out and just kind of hanging out at home. I think that might be easier.
That's definitely a lot. That's like a full itinerary. Yeah. That's like people who go on vacation, they're like, all right, 12:01 to 12:55 p.m., we're going to do a walking tour. But pause for a second. Is this the same Sarah that told you that she could get you tickets to Ohio State and Texas earlier in the year?
We love Sarah, but yes, she's a hardcore Texas fan, and I've known Sarah for a long, long time. Like, she's a really good friend of mine and used to be on air, and now she does behind-the-scenes stuff. But yes, it wasn't great, but you know, she reached out. She's like, I'm back in town. She was in the swamp last week. She's like, so we should watch a game. I'm like, all right, let's do it. So I think Sarah's going to swing by. We're definitely getting together. But yeah, that's Sarah.
So for the people who don't know the whole situation, so Jenks wanted to go to Ohio State and Texas. And this girl said, hey, I can pull some strings. I can get you face value tickets. And then the week of the game, like, things kind of, you know, crumble, and she's like, I don't know if I can get the tickets. And Jenks had already looked into hotels.
I'd booked a hotel.
So this is why, right, that's why I'm kind of saying that I feel like she needs to at least buy you a round of drinks or, like, pay for something in DoorDash, maybe to make up for things.
That's true. Well, also, and then the funny thing is, on game day. She's like, hey, I got face value tickets. I knew I'd get them. I was like, maybe. Maybe. But yeah. Day of, it's like, okay. But I was not willing to go through the process of, you know, spending the money, getting the hotel room, you know, getting reservations for me and Catherine to have a nice dinner, all that stuff, and then go. And honestly, now looking back, since we lost the game, probably a good thing I didn't go.
I don't know. Maybe if you would have been there, James.
That's true.
Maybe it's all your fault. All right, so let's talk about some of these big games, and we will get to Oklahoma and Texas. But let's start with the early slate. If you are planning your day, here are the big games in the noon window. So we start with Alabama at number 14, Missouri, and Ohio State at Illinois. I think a lot of people think both these games could have some interesting things in them. As far as the lines go, the odds makers are only having Alabama lay 3.5 on the road at Missouri, but Ohio State is laying 14.5 at Illinois. So, Jenks, of these two games, which has the better betting angle, in your opinion?
Oh, I've gone back and forth. I've got a few games that I like here. I have to say, I really like Texas on the money line a lot. And I think Ohio State, if you can get them at 14, I like. I know that you see Illinois and you're like, it's at home. This is a big number. But I just don't know how Illinois is going to move the ball on the Ohio State defense. Like, I think this could be a blowout. I think Double D disagrees with me. But here's the thing. If you look at Ohio State and what they've done this season, they allow 3.8 points per play. They haven't allowed more than 10 points in any game this season. That's their longest streak since 1979 when they did it for six straight games. So one of the issues for Illinois is they have problems on the offensive line, problems protecting Luke Altmyer. And so you're going to go up against this Ohio State defense. I don't care if it's at home. Like, Champaign is nice, but it's not exactly the most intimidating environment. I think Ohio State covers this number.
I think this would make me nervous if I was on Illinois, because here's the thing. It feels to me like Ohio State certainly has the talent on both sides of the ball for blowout potential. And that's obviously what you need if you don't want to be sweating a 14.5 point line. But I don't know. It's not going to make the card for me. I'm not a huge fan of laying big numbers, especially in college football. But what about this Bama game? So it feels like a short line. And I'll say this. Missouri comes into this game undefeated with some really good numbers. But they also have not played the strength of schedule that Alabama has played. So they had a win at home over South Carolina, beat Louisiana, beat UMass, which UMass is not good. And then you have Alabama, who feels very battle-tested to me. Like, I know that there were talks about Kalen DeBoer's team on the road before, but I feel like we've dispelled that in the last few games. Alabama comes in this game with four straight covers against the number and four straight wins. So I think a lot of this is how much do you believe in Alabama, and do you feel like they finally reached the Alabama level that we all expected, maybe not to the level of Nick Saban teams, but still to the talent respective to what we expect from Alabama. So I think I'm leaning towards Bama in this one.
I'm going to go on the opposite side here. I like Missouri and the three, and the money has come in on Mizzou. I believe this line was Bama minus five at one point, but you get Missouri at home, a team that is really good, and Bo Prabula at quarterback is really good. Transfer from Penn State, nine touchdowns, only three picks, and even though Bama, look, they got past Georgia, that was a huge win. They got past Vandy. They covered both of those games, and I was on the opposite side, so they have burned me here. But still, away from Tuscaloosa, Kalen DeBoer is 2-5. And, of course, he lost that opening game of the season against Florida State. I think it's going to be a riled-up Missouri team who's been waiting for this game. And Alabama's schedule has been so brutal. Like, it's just one very difficult game after the other, which happens in the SEC, but Missouri hasn't played that schedule yet. I think Alabama could be a little tired here. I'm going to take the Tigers at home.
I think if it was a bigger number, I would take Missouri, but 3.5 still feels short to me. And we've seen the high upside of what this Alabama offense can bring to the table. And the way that Ty Simpson is playing right now, he's one of the favorites to win the Heisman for a reason. So agree to disagree, Jenks. But now we come to the 3:30 window, and now it's time to talk about Oklahoma and Texas, because we know you have a lot to say about this game. But even if you're not a Texas or Oklahoma fan, this game is very interesting. So Texas sitting as point and a half favorites at home here, but Oklahoma is the top 10 team. So pause for a second there. Usually we see this in college football where you say, hey, The unranked team is favored against a top 10 team. What am I missing here? You're missing something, because usually the odds makers get these type of games right. So there's been a ton of speculation about John Mateer. Is he going to play? Is he going to play for how long? How effective is he going to be? Because remember, it was a throwing hand injury. So I think I still have questions about how good he's going to be, even if he does play. But Jenks, give us the handicap on this game.
Well, look at how much this spread has changed. Texas is a dog now. Texas is +1.5. Everyone is buying in on Mateer playing. And so I'm going to be on Texas here. Double D was giving me a hard time because I was like, I'm not playing this game. I'm not playing this game. Well, I am going to play this game. Early on, I thought, here's what's happening. I thought Mateer's definitely going to play. This is one big smokescreen. And because, you know what, Oklahoma does this all of the time. I have definitely talked about this over the years. It's just that you normally don't hear about it because it's generally a cornerback or a linebacker or someone who isn't as significant at the quarterback position. But Oklahoma does this all the time. It's always some sort of smokescreen or misdirection. What I think is happening is this, is that Oklahoma wants Texas to prepare for John Mateer as much as possible. But I don't know if he's going to be ready to go. That's why all of the money is flowing in on Oklahoma. But if you read the headlines, they're completely noncommittal. Like Pete Thamel had yesterday a report that says, John Mateer may try and play. It's like, okay, what does that mean? He might try and play. It means nothing. And remember, when Dillon Gabriel was at Oklahoma a few years ago, people forget he was at Oklahoma before he went to Oregon, this same thing happened. And guess what? Dillon Gabriel suited up. He went out on the field for pregame warmups, and everybody's like, oh my God, he's playing. He's playing. They went back into the locker room. He came out. He was not dressed. He did not play. I think that is what is happening here. I think John Mateer is probably going to suit up, and it's looking like he's going to play, but he's not. And because of that, I think there's value on Texas. I like Texas anyway, but I definitely like them getting points.
I think for me, it doesn't change that much, like if it's a point and a half in either direction. But I think the thing that I feel more comfortable backing is the total in this one. Because doesn't it feel like this is going to be a very hotly contested, tight game where I feel like the more dependable factor in this game is Oklahoma's defense? So I know, Jenks, that you've had your issues with Texas's defense.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about John Mateer. Like, do we really think he's going to be 100%? Like, I know he's really shifty on his feet, but coming back from a throwing hand injury, do we think he's going to be 100%? Especially in a big-time game on the road? Like, that's what I have trouble, like, you know, trying to make a case for Oklahoma. And so maybe you just go with an under here.
I think that's probably the way to go. I like that a lot. And also think about, even if he plays, and this is what I find fascinating about this, of course Oklahoma wants him to play, but this is still, we're mid-season, and this is an injury to his throwing hand. So this is on the very, very early cusp of him being able to play. Like, okay, you could probably go, but honestly, if you want to be safe and play the rest of the season and not re-injure this hand, you probably want to sit out another couple weeks. Is Oklahoma really willing to risk him this early in the recovery process? Maybe. I'd still think Texas is the right call, but even if he goes, he's going to be limited. The Texas defense will play better than they did against Florida last week. That is a guarantee. And Oklahoma's defense, they're going to try and confuse Arch Manning with all sorts of different looks. Rhett Venables is one of the best in the business at that. So yeah. I do think this is an under game as well.
Yeah, I think that's what scares me about Texas, is that this is a very tough Oklahoma defense.
Yes.
And if Arch has had trouble getting right, and I know some of it is just simply making the throws, this is not going to be an easy test for him. You know, if he struggled against Florida, and Florida's really talented as well, but schematically, Brent Venables is one of the best in the business.
Yeah, he really is. And I think this could be just a rock fight at the Cotton Bowl. You never know. These games are very, very hard to handicap just because of the whole rivalry element, which all rivalries are like this, but this one in particular. And I always give Oklahoma a slight motivational edge because they are hyper-focused on beating Texas at all times. But this Mateer thing has become sort of laughable. Like, even yesterday, Brett McMurphy retweeted, sources confirm that John Mateer may or may not play. on Saturday in Dallas.
Why do you need sources to confirm that?
He was joking. He was poking fun at all these reports coming out. Like, these reports mean nothing. Like, look at this. Hey, this guy might play. He's like, he's thinking about playing. It's like, okay, we know. He's thinking about playing. He might try and play. That's not a report. Either he is or he's not. We know he's not out. So is he going to play or not? And these stories saying, well, he's thinking about it. Like, okay, it means nothing, but it has moved the line. That's what's crazy. These reports have absolutely affected this game.
It's crazy. Maybe we just need to check John Matera's Venmo and see which side he's betting on. But it's an inside joke. He's not actually betting on these games. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. All right, a game we're betting on tonight, probably, is the MLB postseason. We talk about the Tigers and the Mariners. Big game tonight in the postseason. It's next on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. It is Friday, October the 10th, here on the show. And we are smack dab in the middle of the Major League Baseball postseason. And boy, have we got some great games thus far. And we should have a good one on the card tonight, as we have the Tigers and the Mariners going head-to-head, series tied 2-2. So previously on Major League Baseball. So if you haven't been paying attention to baseball, here's where you need to be. All right. So as far as the bracket goes, the Dodgers beat the Phillies last night, 3-1 in the NLDS. The Dodgers are moving on. They will play the winner of whoever takes the series between the Cubs and the Brewers. The Cubs evened up the series last night. That series is tied 2 games apiece. And then on the American League side of things, we know the Blue Jays have advanced over the Yankees. And they will play the winner of the Tigers and the Mariners. So, Jenks, right now we have the Dodgers and the Blue Jays. And there are 2 spots remaining for the final 4 of Major League Baseball. Have any of these results surprised you? Like, as far as like the Dodgers advancing or the Blue Jays advancing?
Well, I will say that the Cubs kind of hanging around has surprised me. I should have known when we booped them on the nose yesterday that was going to be a problem. Boop, boop, you're cute. Boop. But they look great. I mean, everything I said was wrong on the Cubs yesterday. I booped them on the nose. I said they were worn out. I said they were running on fumes. I said that Matthew Boyd wasn't worth backing. And you know what? I was wrong. It happens. It's sports betting. But I'll give full credit to the Cubs because they have jumped on top of the Brewers early in the last 2 games, especially in a playoff game. I feel like it's really tough to come back from that. You know, the Brewers have done it before, but certainly when you jump on top in games that are generally lower scoring, it makes it tough to rally, and the Cubs did just that. And that atmosphere at Wrigley is just ridiculous. One of the best things in sports.
Right, and so the final game of the series is in Milwaukee. And so, if we're trying to find out like the lessons that we should have learned by looking at the Cubs yesterday, I will say this. They have been noticeably better when playing at home. And especially in the postseason, it makes a ton of sense. Because like you said, it's one of the best home field environments in the postseason when you're talking about Wrigley. So now, their deciding game is going to be on the road. And when you have like decisive home road splits, I understand it's not the regular season. And sometimes teams just get hot. And maybe that's the sabotage factor for the Brewers, is that the Cubs are hitting all these home runs. They lead the majors in home runs scored in the postseason with 11 this season. And that can correct a lot of flaws on your team if you're hitting the long ball, especially if you leave some runners on base. But at the end, I'm probably going to be leaning towards the Brewers. But the Cubs have surprised me. I think we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to tonight's big game between the Mariners and the Tigers. So big one here. And, of course, the Tigers are going to have their ace throwing. Tarek Skubal, 13-6 this season, 2.21 ERA, probably going to win the Cy Young. And he's going to be squaring off with George Kirby, who's 10-8 with a 4.21 ERA. Tigers short favorites here, or maybe more than short favorites. I guess minus 140 is pretty heavy. Mariners plus 118. And this game is in Seattle. Total of 7 runs. So the odds makers clearly giving some credit and respect to Skubal here. But, Jenks, do we believe in the Tigers' offense once again? It's always the sabotage factor because Tarek Skubal has been very, very consistent. If you look at his last few starts, he has been an iron man for the Tigers. But I don't know about the Tigers' bats. Like, we saw him flash a little bit last game, but I don't know. Are you picking a side in this game?
God, I don't know. I kind of feel like the Mariners at plus money might be the call. Like, I get it with Skubal on the mound. But I know. This is so tough. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Mariners won 2-1. Do you know what I mean? The Tigers, are they going to generate enough offense? I know you feel that. And I feel the same way. I'm going to go first five under. And it's, I mean, it's tough. It's 3.5. It's minus 157 to the under. Do I want to lay that juice? I might. But here's the thing, is that the Tigers, what we saw in the previous game in Motown, like, that was a total anomaly. They normally don't hit the ball like that. That was their most, that was the most runs scored in a Tigers postseason game since the 1968 World Series or something like that. And we certainly haven't seen that sort of run production in the second half of the season. So I just don't know if I trust the Tigers to give Skubal the run support he needs. And once he leaves the game, then I feel like it's all hands on deck for the Mariners and they could win this game late. So I'm much more interested in a total than a side.
Yeah, and it kind of feels like that's been the series in a nutshell. Like, I understand that we've seen, like, little flashes of, hey, this team can score runs, but, like, the first two games of this series were more indicative of what I expect from these teams, where it was a one-run game, and both those first two games ended 3-2. But you are not getting any type of easy numbers or layups when it comes to a total, because this is kind of what the odds makers are expecting as well. Jace, I just saw this. It's gone to 5.5 for a full game total over at BetMGM. Juice to the over, though, at minus 120. Because last night when I was looking at this, it was a total of 6. And I was like, all right, maybe I can get a 7 and lay some juice. No, it's minus 205. So I do think the way you go is either first 5 or first 7. Because sometimes we do this to maybe get a little wiggle room. And if you think the starter is going to go more than 5 innings, and that's exactly what we've seen from Skubal in the postseason. He went 7 2/3, went 7 flat last time around against the Mariners and only gave up 2 earned runs. So, Jenks, I think I'm going to do first 7 under 4.5 for minus 120. I don't blame you for going first 5, but, like, it's minus 160 at MGM. You could do 3 for minus 118. But I don't know. How much do you trust George Kirby? Because I think we have established that we really trust Skubal in this situation.
Yeah.
George Kirby has a good start against the Tigers where he went 5 innings, 2 earned runs back on October 4th with 8 strikeouts, which is a good thing. When you're playing totals, you want to play the strikeout pitcher so they can strand those runners. Even if they get, you know, runners on base, third out, strikeout, obviously, makes you feel good as an under better. So do you trust George Kirby to keep this one close?
I do because, well, because it's an elimination game and because the Tigers can't hit, you know. I can't wait for A.J. Hinch to take out Tarek Skubal after 2 innings. That's what I can't wait to see. He drove me crazy last
game. 2 innings?
I'm joking.
He will be
pitchforked. As he should. Like, it's amazing to me. I think managers in the postseason, I think we've seen an issue with when these guys are, these starters are pitching well, there's been a real inclination to pull them way too early. Like, if they're pitching, let them pitch. It's almost like, oh my God, you've gone 5 innings, 5 shutout innings. That's great. We got to get you out of here. It's like, maybe not. Mm. Maybe let them go. And I understand pitch count is a thing, but these managers are so worried about arm fatigue or a guy going longer than he normally goes. like even if it's a few extra pitches, that they're pulling guys who are pitching really well early, and then it's coming back to bite them. Like, it almost bit the Dodgers in the butt last night, where they put Emmett Sheehan in, and immediately the Phillies scored, you know? And so I think it's okay to let these starters continue rolling if they're pitching well. So I don't think that's going to happen to Skubal, but when you're talking about George Kirby, I feel like when you look at how he's pitched against the Tigers can't hit, and because these managers are so quick to pull guys at the first sign of trouble, that's why I'm not worried about either pitcher here and why the under is the play.
Yeah. As far as Kirby goes, like back to the strikeouts, like if you look back at the regular season, he ended the regular season on an absolute tear. Had 14, 7, and 10 strikeouts against the Dodgers. So that is a good lineup, and he did that in only 5 innings. So I like the high-end potential of Kirby there. And when it comes to leaving Skubal in, I feel like A.J. Hinch knows better. And we've already seen this in the postseason where he went 7 and 2/3, and he went 7 innings. It is different when it's not a veteran pitcher, and when it's not somebody who's going to win the Cy Young. Because I do think, you know, situations are always different. And don't you imagine, like, Skubal going back and forth with Hinch? If Hinch comes out of the dugout, I feel like Skubal's going to be like, no, stay in the dugout. I'm finishing this game, damn it.
Right.
And he has the respect of his team to say something like that because he is a veteran and because he is the heart and soul of this team. So if Hinch pulls him early, like, that's the biggest mistake, and I feel like Tigers fans will absolutely turn on him. If you're interested in playing outs for Skubal, because I think that is a pretty solid angle, because if you believe that the Tigers stand a chance, I think a lot of it has to do with Skubal staying in this game pretty long, but you're not getting a ton of value when it comes to earned runs, strikeouts, any of that. Like, a strikeout props, I think 8.5, juice to the over at -166. We're not playing that. But outs recorded is 19.5. for Skubal, which I had to do some math. 6 innings is 18 and 7 is 21. So it's like 6 2/3, I think. Juice to the over at -132.
Yeah.
I think he probably goes 7. Don't you think? It's an elimination game, but
yeah.
Do you trust somebody in the bullpen more than Skubal?
No. No. I trust Rick Skubal exclusively.
With my life.
With my life. I trust him. Yeah, he wants to go. Like, that's what I love about him is that, A, he just has, you know, brilliant stuff. I love watching great pitchers just go at it. I mean, we saw that last night. Dodgers and Phillies was a great pitching matchup. That was fantastic to watch. And so I love a good pitcher's battle in the postseason, and he's as good as it gets. Not only does he have nasty stuff, but he's so fire, and he wants to go deep in games. And most pitchers aren't built like that. They'll go their 5 or 6 innings, they'll get their quality start in, and then they're out of there, and they're fine with it. But Skubal wants to go deep in games, and that's such an old-school competitor mentality. As an old guy with soft bones, I love that. I love that. And he motivates guys because they see how intense he is and how much he wants to win. Sometimes a pitcher can really drive a team, and I feel like he's one of those drivers.
Oh, absolutely. Like, he's the face of the franchise right now.
Yeah.
If they advance, it's going to be on the arm of Skubal. I will say, from a matchup perspective, Jorge Polanco apparently has Skubal's number. Last game, he had 2 home runs off Skubal and went 3 for 4 in that game. So usually I would say, okay, let's look at, you know, total bases, hits, runs, RBI for Polanco. But I'm not a huge fan of doing that in games that have such a low total. Like, yeah. I want all the factors to be aligning. Like, if I'm playing player props from an offensive side of things, I want it to be a real high total, not a total that's 5.5. So, no thank you. All right, Jenks, I don't know if we gave a side. Like, I think we said, hey, maybe the Mariners are going to win 2-1. But just for fun, no prices, no nothing. Who do we think wins?
I think it's the Mariners. I think it's the Mariners.
I was hoping for a different answer.
You were hoping for Tigers? You were hoping that I'd go with Detroit? I think it's the Mariners. Do you want Detroit to win? I feel like you want Detroit to win, which is okay, but I'm curious.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I think my heart is going to break for Skubal. But at the same time, like, what a magical season it's been for Seattle. And like, think about all those fans who have been waiting so long for this team to be a factor in the postseason. Because it just feels like for the past like 10 years, it's been like the Astros that have their number. And, you know, it's just been a flash in the pan where they've had, you know, some great prospects. Julio Rodriguez has been really good. Now this year, it's Big Dumper's turn. So I can see both sides of the coin. I feel like this is one of those series where no matter who wins, I will be happy for that fan base.
You know what's going to happen. Like, Scooball's going to get rocked. Something crazy is going to happen.
God.
I know. I like the Tigers. I like Detroit. But the Mariners have... They have not been to an ALCS, I believe, since 2001. So, this is a team... Yeah, it's been a long time for Seattle. And I want to see the Big Dumper in the postseason. I get it, though. I like the Tigers as well. I mean, there's a great history there. But I feel like... This is the time for the Mariners. Doesn't it feel like this is their time to make a run with the season that they've had, finally breaking through and having an MVP candidate and being at home? I think it's going to be a tight game early, and then I feel like Seattle finds a way late to pull this out. Maybe we get extras, I don't know, but the total is insanely low. 5.5 for a baseball game is so stupid low, but it's playoff baseball. I get it.
Absolutely. I'm looking at the American League, and it feels like it's the same story for, like, the Blue Jays, where you're sitting there thinking, oh, I hope the Mariners go, because it's been a while. Think about the Blue Jays. Think about how long those fans have been waiting. I feel like the Blue Jays have been a team that people want to buy stock in for, like, the last 5 years, and it just hasn't come to fruition. So either way, you get some new blood in the American League representing the AL in the World Series. But, Jenks, are the Dodgers winning the World Series, or do we get somebody new? Because it does feel like there is a good chance. Could be the Brewers, could be the Cubs, could be the Blue Jays, could be Mariners or Tigers. But at the end of the day, does it all feel pointless because they're going to meet the Dodgers?
I kind of feel like maybe it's that way. Although, I'm kind of rooting for Milwaukee. I like the Cubs, but I'm kind of rooting for the Brewers because I feel like if the Brewers win this series, the Brewers could give the Dodgers a run. Like, I think that if you look at which team is best equipped to beat the Dodgers in the National League, I think it's the Brewers. I think more so than the Phillies had a chance. The Brewers are a team that we're just not giving credit towards. They haven't looked good in the past couple of games. I get that. We've gone back and mentioned the run differential during the regular season. They have great starting pitching. I think they can hang with the Dodgers, but they got to beat Chicago first.
Yeah, and I think in the past, the Brewers have had a really good pitching staff, but they couldn't score runs. Not the case this year. Yeah. They have been one of the most prolific offenses across the board in all of the majors. So I'm hoping for that series. All right, coming up next is parlay time. Time to lay down a little money and hopefully win a ton. We've got the squad parlay after the break here on the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
the
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back on Friday, October 10th here on the show. Coming your way soon on the show, we'll get to our college football Double D's Degenerate Parlay and also our squad parlay, which I need to type in my leg because I was still mulling the options because there was two guys that I really liked this week, Jenks, and okay. I was trying to decide, okay, which one are we going to throw into the fire? For the squad parlay, because you never want to lose it for the team. So I want to feel really good. I think I'm going to do like an alternate number just by a few yards. But still, you never want to be the guy that loses it. Like, that's probably how Orion Kirkering feels today. Like, the guy that lost the parlay.
Oh, my God. That poor guy. Ooh. I simultaneously was happy to see Philly eliminated because I don't like Bryce Harper, and also I felt terrible for him. Like, I never want to, you know, have a guy be responsible for that happening. And also, particularly when you're not a big name, then that's something you get associated with. Do you know what I mean? Like, he'll be known for that more than other things, and I really hate that because that's not really a fair way to look at his career.
Absolutely. And, like, when it goes to 11 innings, like, somebody's going to crack. And like Dave Roberts said, it was the Phillies who cracked.
They did.
He said it like a mob boss. But I don't know. I don't think you ever want the game to end on one player. Whether it's in football where somebody makes a boneheaded play to drop the ball before they get to the end zone, or like kickers. I feel the worst for kickers because, like, nobody even cares about them until the game's on the line. And it's like, if you do your job, great. But if you miss it, then everybody hates you. It feels like you don't even get the praise. You only get, like, the negative attention.
Exactly. And I just, you know, that's why postseason baseball, you know, I feel like baseball is different and hockey's kind of this way. But there's something about playoff baseball because it's so strategic and because one play, one player can really make the difference when these games are so very tight. I think that's what it is because, like, last year, if you look at the, like, the Ravens Bills game when Mark Andrews dropped that 2-point conversion, and you'll focus on that, which was tough, but the Ravens made a lot of mistakes in that game. Like, people focus on that, but if you look at it, there's a lot of things that could have gone differently there. Last night, it kind of comes down to that one little play, and that's how baseball differs.
Right. And, like, some of these games are so tight that, like, even down to, like, the managerial decisions.
Yeah.
Where hindsight is always 20/20. And people love to look and be like, hey, you should have left him in for a couple more rounds, or you should have taken him out. But we'll never know. Like, that's the crazy part, is that, like, we will never live in a parallel universe where we saw what actually happened. All we can do is assume. And that is not a great place to live. All right, so let's get to some of these big parlays. If you're tired of us talking about baseball, we got a whole bunch of football picks ready for you. But if you are parlaying things, you might as well do it over at BetMGM. No matter where the college football action is, there's nothing like getting in the game and leveling up your next parlay. Use this parlay boost token over at BetMGM to boost your potential payout from a winning college football parlay. So with that, it's time to go to the Double D Degenerate Parlay of the Week.
It's time to get crazy with Double D's College Football Degen Parlay.
Listen, after last week, no shenanigans, no funsies. We serious here this week.
All right.
So, my parlay includes this week: Missouri +3 versus Alabama, UCLA +7.5 at Michigan State, Oregon -7.5 versus Indiana, Maryland +6.5 versus Nebraska, Florida +7.5 at Texas A&M, Texas Tech -14 versus Kansas, UCLA on the money line versus Michigan, and South Carolina +9.5 at LSU. Total odds with that BetMGM college football 50% parlay boost: 250-1. $5 pays you $1,255.48. Let's go.
That's right. Use that odds boost token. You got it, Double D. Jenks, let me ask you. I'm not a big college football person. Like, I like college football, but I don't bet on a ton of games. Is there a sabotage factor here? Because I feel like I see a lot of games where I have seen people on both sides. Like the Texas A&M game, I know a lot of people that feel strongly on the Aggies. I know you're probably not one of those people who's willing to speak kindly about Texas A&M.
I will not.
Is there a sabotage factor in this game for David here?
I think he's going to be all right. I think he's going to be okay. I got to support Double D here. You know, I'm not gonna talk up Texas A&M. Don't go there. It's a cult. That's my analysis of that game. It's a cult. Don't go there. I got to believe the hook is enough here. I think Florida found something last week, I believe, with DJ Lagway, and who looked really good. And also, there's something to be said for a desperate football team, which is one of the reasons why I'm kind of like Texas this week, is that Florida knows that it's playing for Billy Napier's job, and I think Dallas Wilson coming back in the lineup was massive for them. So, you know, I think it's one of the more underrated things that happened last week. Like, he's going to be one of those guys at the end of the season. We're going to be saying, have you seen this kid? It's just because he's played one game and it was his first game of the season. But he is that much of a difference maker. And I think he could be the difference in this game. So, Double D, I got your back.
You had me in the first half, though, Jenks, because usually when people's voice goes really high, it means they have full confidence in something. You're like, I think it's going to be all right.
I like his play. Double D, he's good. He does a good job.
Oh, man. But it's tough in college football every single week. Like, I'll say this just as a blanket statement, just because, you know, that's what college football, that's why it makes it great, is that we see chaos every single week. So we'll be rooting for you, Double D. And now it's time to get to the squad parlay where everybody's involved.
Ladies and gentlemen, adults of all ages, it's time for the show parlay.
All right, step right up and try your hand at some big plus money. We were very close last week, missing by a mere one leg. Alabama cost us the cover. Vandy should have covered in that game. That was a tough way to lose that one. All right, so I'll start us off here, and I'm going to go with a player prop as usual. And I'm going to rely on Stephon Diggs because, boy, has he looked like a true number one receiver over the past couple weeks for the New England Patriots. So we get 61.5 receiving yards for the number for Stephon Diggs this week. He has had back-to-back games of over the century mark. And here's the thing. The targets are now very consistent. He's had 7 and 12 targets in the last two games, 101, 146. I understand the Saints are not a revenge angle for Stephon Diggs, but I also put his quarterback, Drake May, in the circle of trust because sometimes I don't like betting on receivers that don't have trustworthy quarterbacks, but Drake May's been absolutely slinging it. Maybe the game plan or the game script goes against the Patriots here because I do think they win this game. Maybe they're not throwing at the end of this. But still, we have seen the Saints give up this number to Khalil Shakir of the Bills, JSN of the Seahawks, Juwan Jennings of the Niners had over 90 yards receiving. So they have not been especially good at locking down number one receivers. Stephon Diggs over 61.5 receiving yards is the play for me. All right, Jenks, looks like you're going to the college ranks. What's the play?
I am. I really love this play quite a bit. So I'm going UNLV -6.5 hosting Air Force. And I still feel like the Rebels are under the radar now. They're 5-0, just took care of business against Wyoming, 31-17. They are one of only 8 teams in the college game this season that has scored more than 30 points in every single game. They do a great job of holding onto the football as well. And Air Force has the worst defense in college football. They gave up 49 points to Utah State, 49 points to Boise State, 44 points to Hawaii, 34 points to Navy. They give up 476 yards a game. I just don't know how in the world they keep pace with UNLV because their defense is so leaky. So let's lay 6.5 with the Rebs.
All right, David, you're next. What's your favorite college play that you're contributing here?
I'm sticking with what has worked for me lately. Texas Tech -14 versus Kansas. Once again, Texas Tech is one of two teams in college football that are ranked in the top 10 right now in both offense and defense, and that defense is no joke. I think they limit Jalen Daniels and just keep that Kansas offense off the field with what is an epically good offense. And Morton is back as well. He played last week. He'll be back this week. Their starting quarterback, Texas Tech -14 versus Kansas.
All right. Next up, Dylan, usually we get fight picks from you. And I'm glad to say at least I know how to pronounce the person you are playing this week for the squad parlay. Who you got?
Yeah, there is fights this weekend. I didn't like any of the odds, though, because I had kind of a couple things picked out. Everything was like -400 or more, so I was like, I'm not doing that to the parlay. So we're going Devon Achane, anytime touchdown. He's eclipsing this at about an 80% rate. He's scores pretty much all of Miami's touchdowns. Especially with Tyreek Hill out now, he's just the main guy that they look to in the red zone and just in the passing and rush game. So anytime touchdown at this price, I love.
Ah, an anytime touchdown bets. These feel really easy or really frustrating because sometimes they score in like the first quarter and you're like, that was so easy. But I do like that, and especially guys who can catch passes and also run it in. So like the play a lot. All right, Den, you are the final leg of the squad parlay. I know you are currently typing something into the rundown, so maybe I'll give you some filler here. But looks like you're going to the college ranks, and I really like this play, and I think Jenks does as well.
Yeah, I'm taking the under in Texas and Oklahoma. It combines right now in the college football season what is two of my favorite things, which is backing Oklahoma's defense, and until Arch Manning shows me something against top competition, fading Texas's offense. I am not of the belief that John Mateer is going to play. I agree with Jenks in that. I think there's some trickery going on there, so I'm not expecting that he's going to be good to go. However, as a gambler, the odds are now going up. The numbers are now going up because the books are thinking that Mateer might play, or just to give themselves a little bit of leeway. So it's perfect for me to slide in, because 2 days ago this number was 42.5. Now it's 44.5 with the threat of him playing. So sliding in there, getting a much better number, but I'm going under 44.5.
Right, and even if he does play, like, he hurt his throwing hand. I feel like that is not a good injury to hurry back from, even if it is against your bitter rival in Texas. If you want to play at odds of 23-1 and also use the boost over at BetMGM, that's the squad parlay. Coming up next, hour three of the show, our reactions from the Giants' big win over the Eagles last night. It's next on The Daily Tip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.